One of the most difficult things to do is to be consistent with a strong mind. Because at times in life, because of circumstances, because of experiences, because of people, our minds begin to wander. Our resolve begins to become weak at times and discouraged. But I want to share a few things with us on tonight that should strengthen our hearts, should fortify our character and help us to be more of the people of God that the Lord desires for us to be. And with that being said, I want us to use an Old Testament reference. As we turn our scriptures to Joshua chapter 3, I want us to take into consideration Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read these 17 verses, make a few comments. But then I want us to see, how did Joshua get to this point? How did he get here? Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is before Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. What a beautiful reading there. How did they get to this point? How did they get to the point where they could cross over the way that they did? Friends, I want to suggest to you that these things could not have happened unless Joshua had the spiritual and emotional strength to lead this people. It is not easy to be a leader. It is not easy to be a leader in any realm of society or life. It's not easy to be a leader in the home, a leader in the church, a leader of a great nation. It's not easy. However, if the people of God are going to be great leaders at home, great leaders in the church, or great leaders on their job, wherever that they may be great leaders, their leadership must first come forth from God. When we consider this and consider how Joshua is going to be leading the children of Israel across the Jordan, Joshua had great encouragement from every vantage point. As a matter of fact, there was no particular reason that Joshua should have failed. God, he strengthened Joshua. Moses, he strengthened Joshua. And later on, we'll see that the children of Israel, they're going to strengthen Joshua. Which meant that the only thing that Joshua had to do was believe that God's word was true, that the words that Moses got from God was true, and that the words that the people, Israel, got from God, that got from Moses, that got from God was true. Only thing he had to do was believe it and do exactly what God had said. And he was going to cross that Jordan. He was going to lead the people of God. They was going to trust him to follow him. And friends, I truly believe that if God be for us, who can be against us? But the strength, his strength came from God. Turn to Deuteronomy 31. Number one, we see Moses in verse number one was about 120 years old. He's an old man. God told Moses that he was not going to cross the Jordan. He was not going to go into the promised land. Yet this great man of God showed great humility. If anything, he knew when to step aside. He knew that his time was done. Then Moses, verse number one, went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord, your God himself, crosses over before you. Now, I like this in the text. Here we see Moses understands, I'm not going to go, but the one in whom I'm following, the one in whom we're following, he's going to go over before you. So you're going to be okay. Friends, when we consider this great observation from Moses, this ought to give us great encouragement as well, that it doesn't matter who come or who goes in our lives, as long as God is for us, no one can be against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Romans 8, 31, 1 John 4, and verse number 4. But then notice, we see some things that are just as powerful, starting in verse number 5 through verse number 6, verse 7 to be exact. Notice what is said right here, what Moses, God told Moses. Then the Lord will give them over to you in order that you may do them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Here it is. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Now notice what is connected very closely to being strong and of good courage. No fear. He says, do not fear. Nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. We're going to see this about three or four times in these particular passages alone, which also teaches us that even in the New Testament, Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, here we see the same language of the people of God who were threatening on leaving Christianity and going back into Judaism. And the Hebrews writer is saying, don't do that. God is with you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. Therefore, don't leave him. Don't forsake him. Joshua, do this and you will be all right. But in this case, we understand that the Lord was strengthening Moses. But now look at verse number 7. Then Moses calls Joshua and says to him in the sight of all Israel, notice, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them and to cause them to inherit it. Now, notice what is connected to being strong and of good courage, an inheritance. Friends, we ourselves cannot obtain that inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, it may be 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, we cannot have that inheritance unless we ourselves have a strong mind and have great courage. Don't go to sleep on me now. Think about these things, friends, because we're going to need this strength in order to make it back home to glory. Also, what we see that is connected very closely to being of a strong mind is that God is a God of covenant. He's a God of promise. He's a God of assurance. And if God is going to go before us, the only thing we have to do is follow him. Don't get in front of God. Stay behind God. So here we see that being of a strong mind, being of great courage, is closely connected to the inheritance. But then notice what he says in verse number 8 again. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. The assurance that is connected, crossing the Jordan and the inheritance that is connected to having a strong mind. Friends, I want to say this before we go any further. I truly believe that many leave the Lord for different reasons. But the main reason is because they stop trusting in God. We hear even in the world, I don't go to church because there's too many hypocrites there. But it's hypocrites at work. It's hypocrites at H&B, Walmart. It's hypocrites wherever you may go. But we do know this. In the Lord's church, God will never leave his people. We don't leave the church for no reason. We stand with God. Why? Because God stands with us. Notice, drop down to verse number 12 and 13. Notice we see the inheritance is also connected to the fear of the Lord again. Gather the people together. Now notice what is told to Joshua to tell to from Moses, I'm sorry. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones and strangers who is within your gates. No one is exempt from this great inheritance. Remember this morning we made the comment and showed according to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 34 that Israel was commanded to love the stranger. And those strangers that were born in the midst of the Jews, they were part of the family. And here we see that God was inclusive of the strangers who wanted to go with the children of Israel to cross the Jordan. Notice verse number 13. I'm sorry, the latter part of verse number 12. That they may hear and that they may learn to do what? To fear the Lord. Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, we understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise knowledge. But they need to learn to fear the Lord. As parents, we have to teach our children to learn to reverence God. This is not something that they're born into the world with. They have to be taught how to reverence God. How about those who have been irreverent in their whole life and now they come to their senses and now they want to obey the gospel. And now what we have to do as the people of God, because we reverence God, we have to teach them how to reverence God. Friends, you don't come into this world knowing how to reverence God, but you have to be taught to fear the Lord. And these individuals were taught to fear the Lord. Notice, Learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. Now notice what is connected to having a strong mind, fearing God, learning to fear God. Drop down to verse number 16. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot and the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall arise against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And they shall, what? Be devoured. When we divorce ourselves of a strong mind, we leave ourselves open to just about anything. Friends, strength comes from the Word. It's not about lifting weights. It's not about doing calisthenics. It's about getting inside God's Word and allowing God's Word to get inside of you, having a pure heart, having a clean heart, so God's Word can bring forth nourishment. It's interesting. I was talking to Brother Clyde this morning, and Brother Clyde said this. He says, in order for God's Word to nourish your heart, it first must be pure. That man said that this morning right there. And this is right. If God's Word is going to do anything in our lives, we have to submit to purity. We have to submit to God's Word. And when we do this, then God's Word can begin to take root in our hearts, and then we will follow God willingly. But notice this. And I put in my Bible in verse number 17, what does this look like today? Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. We read that, but I wanted to read it again, because what does that look like today? I pondered that and pondered that and pondered that. What does it look like when God removes himself from us because we have removed ourselves from him? What does that look like? I venture to say, friends, that's a scary thought. It's a scary thought not being within the grace of God. It's a scary thought not being within the bounds of the Word. It's a scary thought not being in fellowship with God. That's a scary thought. Yet millions upon millions upon millions live outside of the fellowship with God on an everyday basis. No wonder Jesus said, few be there that find it. Notice verse 22. Having a strong mind is now connected to a song. Therefore, Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Notice, singing is connected to being of a strong mind. Friends, do you know the reason why we sing? Not just to praise and honor God, but to admonish one another, to teach one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. That's why you have to sing spiritual songs. You can't sing unholy songs to God. You have to sing spiritual songs. In verses 1 through 47 of chapter 32, that's the entire song. Oh, I wish we had time to read that song. You go back and you read that on your own time. Go on over now to chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. How do we get to that point in chapter 3? Already we have seen Moses, he encouraged Joshua. God encouraged Moses. And now God is about to encourage Joshua. Joshua was encouraged by Moses. Moses was encouraged by God. And now God is about to encourage Joshua. Verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, get up, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, notice, friends, God was going to be giving them this land. And jump down to verse number 5. And notice what God tells Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. What great encouragement. As a leader who is about to guide the people of God across the Jordan River. And we know what was beyond the river, friends. The seven nations. Those nations that were going to be a people that was going to bring great destruction on some of the people of God. That was going to be leading some of the people of God astray. But there was going to be some strong ones that were going to be able to be strong of mind and withstand even the temptations that was going to come against them. What does that teach us? That because we have crossed the Jordan of baptism, there are some things awaiting us. Friends, you had a life before baptism. That old man was buried in that water. But friends, we have to be like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 31. I die every single day. I got to make up my mind that I'm not going to allow the old things to take me away, to cause me to leave God. But I got to strengthen my heart and strengthen my mind. And I can't allow the temptations and the allurements of this life to get me off track, not even one degree. But notice what he says in verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance. Notice what is connected to being strong and of good courage. The division of the land of Canaan, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and of very courageous. Now notice what he tells them. Already two times we see that Joshua is told to be strong and very courageous. But notice what's connected to being strong and very courageous in this particular verse. That you may observe to do according to some of the law. What does it say? All. Friends, there are great benefits for doing what God has said. Not some of it, not what we think, but all of it. We have great assurance of knowing we have something waiting for us. We have great exhortation knowing that if we do everything that God has said, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I got to live a perfect life? It does mean I need to keep the commandments of God and allow God to take care of his business in my life. So notice what he says. He tells him, which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper. Now notice what's connected to being strong, prospering. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Notice what's connected to being strong and very courageous. God's word being in your mouth. In order for God's word to be in our mouth today, we have to have our heads in the book. Sometimes we have our heads in other books instead of God's book. Sometimes we find ourselves speaking like other people speak instead of how God speaks. But it was going to be vitally important for Joshua to know God's word, God's book, if the people of God was going to cross this Jordan and know how to defeat all of the nations that they were going to be confronted with. Friends, we have to learn God's book. It is his word. But notice what else is connected to being of strong and of good courage. Meditation. How often? Every now and then. No, he says day and night. It sounds like the psalmist every day, every night, that we're going to meditate on what God says. We're going to chew the cud. We're going to allow God's word to roll around in our minds. Philippians 4 and verse number 8. Why? That we may observe to do according to all that is written. Drop down to verse number 9. Notice what God says. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Notice what's connected. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. I can see why Joshua was successful. Brother Popejoy, God was with him. God was with Moses, and God tells Joshua, I was with Moses. Moses instructs Joshua. He encourages him. But then notice, drop down to verse number 16. God makes this covenant now. He's now about to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River. The orders have been given. It's like being in the military and you're in one base. You're at one base and you get orders to go to another base. Well, they got orders to cross the Jordan River. And notice what the people said in verse number 16. So they answered Joshua saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send, we will go. And just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Here it is. Here's the people telling Joshua, only be strong and of good courage. Every leader in the Lord's church, especially here at 9th and Main, ought to be encouraged by the members to be of strong and of good courage. Why? God's word teaches us to be of strong and good courage. We have the letters of Moses, the letters of Jesus. We have the writings of Jesus, the letters of Paul and Peter and James and so forth and so on. And really, only thing we have to do is encourage our leaders to be of strong and of good courage and lead us in the fight. Even at home, wives, strengthen your husband that they may be good leaders at home. Not mediocre, not half-baked, but good and strong leaders, standing up for what is right, leading in the right direction, giving the encouragement, the nourishment, and the love that they need. We ought to encourage our children to be good leaders, be of a strong mind, read God's word, make good decisions, stand on your decisions. If you make a mistake, make it right. That makes you strong in heart. It gives you great experience. And here we find Joshua as he was following Moses. He was his assistant for a long time. If anything, he understood what Moses went through and he knew what he was in for as well. And friends, we're going to be the people that God wants us to be and completely cross over the Jordan like Joshua did with the children of Israel. Well, we have to follow our leader. We have to follow the strongest man that ever lived. His name is Jesus. He was of a strong mind. He had great courage. He would look opposition in the face, i.e. the religious leaders, and tell them exactly what they needed to hear. He would look at the layman, the average people, the people in whom he was teaching, and he would have great compassion and great love and great trust, and he would give them the things that they stand in need of in order for them to grow. We have to do the same. We have to have a strong mind. We can't fold just because there's opposition. We can't leave just because there's opposition. We can't sit there and cry and act like spiritual babies just because we have a little pressure on us. No, we continue to fight the good fight. We continue to lay hold on eternal life, and we continue to look forward to that inheritance that's waiting for us. That's what we do. God's men and women have always been a people of strength, because God is strong himself. But what made God's people strong? It was their trust and faith in him and his message. Do we trust the message? Do we trust God's word? I know we do. But shouldn't we do our best to help our other brethren to trust in the message? Our family members who are weak in the faith, don't you want to be strong? Don't you want to put yourself in a position that you're not collapsing because there is some opposition? God wants us to be a strong people. We have to teach our family members, and we have to be taught by God to be strong. So when we cross over our Jordan and we encounter those seven Canaanite nations, we don't fold and we don't go back and we don't desire to go back. We have our hands to the plow and we're not leaving. We're going to stay with the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Father, you're a great God and we're thankful for your word. It is so encouraging. Yeah, it is hard sometimes. It's hard to stay strong. It's hard to continue to have that courage, especially against ourselves. We pray to Father that we will spend time with your mind, with your word, that we may know what we need to do in order to stay in fellowship with you. We know you are a God that loves us, you're patient, you're long-suffering, you're holy, and you're just, you're merciful, and Father, for all those things, we're thankful. Help us to be a people who sanctify themselves, who set themselves apart from sin. Father, I'm thankful for those who are here on tonight. Pray to Father that you will continue to bless them, that they will continue to have a hunger and thirst after your word to come and to hear more of what you have in your word. But Father, we have great examples such as Moses and Joshua and even the children of Israel during this particular reading who were of a strong mind, very courageous. Help us to be a people like that who strengthen our leaders, who give them those words of encouragement, building them up in the most holy faith. But we pray to Father that they, our leaders here, will build up the congregation, keep them encouraged. When one is losing a loved one due to illness, or when one has an unfaithful spouse, unfaithful children, or one's going through hardship because of finances and emotional turmoil, help them to strengthen the flock and help the flock to receive the strengthening. Father, we all need those, that strengthening at times. We know that our strength comes from you. And we know that it comes from your writings. But we know it comes also from one another. So Father, I ask that you be with us here at Ninth and Main as we continue to grow spiritually. Help us to strive to be a people of oneness. That when there's an issue, an ought, that we will be quick to take care of those things. That we will strive for righteousness. If there's someone who needs help, that we will fill in the gap. If there's one who needs to restore their lives, that we will embrace them. That we'll just be the people you have called us out of sin to be. Nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. So Father, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice he made, and the words that he has spoken, and the words that he left for us through the apostles. And we pray to Father that we'll take those words, add it to our lives and live by them. Forgive us, Father. We fall short at times. And sometimes because of guilt, we stay in our fallen situation. Help us to realize that you love us regardless and that you just want us to turn from our wicked way. So continue to bless us as you have. Help us to always be strong and of very good courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to think about receiving the strength that only comes from the blood of Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins after confession of Jesus Christ. Live faithful. Stay in the word. Get stronger and stronger every day. But if you're a child of God, you need special prayer. Let us do that as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.